Of Luke chapter 5, and we're going to be starting in verse 1. We're going to spend our time in this passage this morning, and it fits very, or the song that we just sang fits very well with what we're going to look at, not only this morning, but also tonight as well. And that is the salvation that we have in Christ, and how faith and grace go together. And that our salvation by God's grace is ours through our faith in Christ Jesus. And this morning, again tonight, we'll be looking at both of those. Luke chapter 5, I want you to start reading with me with the very first verse. And we're going to go back to some previous mentionings of Jesus. And when he first meets Andrew and Peter. And this is kind of, Luke chapter 5 is kind of going to be the rest of the story. Because when we study the Bible, what we're doing is we're laying the pieces of puzzle out and we're trying to fit them all together. And they do fit together. And when we put all the pieces together, then they tell us a story. And not each one of the accounts will tell us exactly the same thing as the others. But once we have them all together, then we're told what exactly occurred. Now, let's clear up the confusion I have just created, and let's just start reading in Luke chapter 5, starting with verse 1. It happened that while the crowd was pressing around him, while he was speaking to them, and he was speaking to them the word of God, and he was standing by the lake Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee. It's just another name for the Sea of Galilee. And the New American Standard Translation will translate it here, the Lake of Gennesaret. I'm not sure exactly how many others do, but it's the Sea of Galilee. And while he's beside the Lake Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, he sees two boats that are lying on the shore, or at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of it and were washing their nets. Now, three other passages of Scripture tie into this one. The one that is first is probably the most confusing, and it's John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. Because as you read Luke, this appears to be the first meeting of Jesus. Okay. Let me get rid of this. Okay, this seems to be the first meeting of Jesus and Peter, but it's not. John chapter 1, John the Baptist is standing after having baptized Jesus and after Jesus had been tempted of the devil. He's standing with two of his disciples, and he sees Jesus walking by, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples that hear him say that go toward Jesus and start following him. Jesus turns around and asks them, "What are you looking for?" And they said, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus says to them, "Come and see." And they go with him. It's about 10 o'clock in the morning. And they go with Jesus and they spend the rest of the day with him. And the Bible will tell us in John that one of those men was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And Andrew goes and gets his brother Peter and brings him to meet Jesus, telling him, "We found the Messiah." And when Peter comes, Jesus says to him, "Simon, son of John, your name will be Cephas," which is Peter, or which means rock. And so that is evidently the first meeting that occurs. But there are two other accounts. If you were to read, first of all, if you've never read anything in the New Testament, and you're reading the book of Matthew first, because it's the first book of the New Testament, you'll run into a story in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, that is almost identical to the text in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 and 20. And both of these texts are the same thing Luke is writing about. But they're completely different, and yet they're not. They're telling us the same thing, but they're giving us different pieces of the puzzle in order to put them together. In the book of Matthew, the Bible will tell us that Jesus walking along the shore of the sea, sees two men who are casting their nets into the sea. Luke will tell us they're washing them. They're not fishing. They are washing them. And Jesus, seeing these two men casting their nets into the sea, will tell them, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And they follow him. And then he goes down a little further and he sees two other men. And that is James and John. And they are also at their boat. And Jesus also tells them, come and follow me. And they leave their father, according to Mark's account, with the hired servants. You get the impression from the other verses until you have this little piece of the puzzle that they left their father Zebedee all alone, but they didn't. They left him with the hired servants, according to the piece of the puzzle that Mark will add for us. And so what Luke is doing is giving us the rest of this story. Because doesn't it seem a little strange that Jesus would walk along a seashore and you would have four fishermen busy at their trade, and he will say to them, as if, it seems to us, the very first words ever spoken to either one of them, and saying, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And they leave everything and follow him. And the question seems to rise in the mind of, why would they do that? Who was he that they should leave everything that they have and follow him? Well, when we put the other pieces of the puzzle with it, this isn't the first meeting. This especially is not the first meeting for Peter, nor for Andrew. And it quite likely is not the first meeting for James and John either. And then we come to the account that is given to us in Luke chapter 5, starting with verse 1 and going down through verse 11. And if you look in verse 2, it says, he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them. And he's primarily talking about the first boat. The fishermen had gotten out of them and they were washing their nets. According to Matthew and Mark, James and John were not washing their nets. They were mending them along with their father in the boat. But Andrew and Peter were out of their boat and they were washing their nets. And according to Matthew and Mark, they were casting them into the sea, which is how they washed them, by throwing them into the Sea of Galilee and thereby washing them. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, as Peter. And he asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and he began teaching the people from the boat. And then we start verse 4 and it says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, before we go any further, does that strike you as odd? There's not one word given to us in this text about what he said. Not one word given to us about the message that Peter was sitting in the boat listening to, and that those that were on the crowd were listening to. And there's a reason for it. There's a reason behind it. And Luke is using it in the very context in which we're writing. Before you see the reason why you should listen to the words he's speaking, you need to understand who he is. You need to understand who it is that's doing the talking. And that's exactly what is happening. Because the focus in this passage is not on Peter's reactions to the words that Jesus is speaking. It's on Peter's reaction to Jesus and who he is. We don't know how much he was convinced when Andrew introduced him to him. We don't know what his thoughts were with regard to Jesus when he first met him. But this solidifies it. This brings it to the conclusion that will cause him to want to be one of his followers. And so Jesus, when he has finished speaking his words, will turn around to Simon and he will say to him, put out the boat into deeper water so that you can catch a fish. And Peter's response to Jesus' instructions are these: Lord, we've worked all night long and we didn't catch a thing. But at your word, I will do as you say. Because you have spoken, I will do this. He pushed the boat out into the deep water, and they let down the net. This, I will do as you say, are the words of faith. I will do as you say are the words that always go hand in hand with what faith is all about. And that's what Peter is doing. Just think about it. What would have happened if Eve, when she was tempted by the devil, and she realized that she was looking at this fruit through her own eyes, through her own desires, and through her own thinking, and all of a sudden realized what she was doing and stopped and said, no, God said, don't eat it. And because he said, don't eat it, I will not eat it. No matter how good I think it looks, no matter how beneficial I think it might be, and no matter the fact that I personally don't see anything wrong with it, because of what he said, at his word, I will not do this thing that I personally don't see anything wrong with. What would have happened if that had been the case? But not just Eve, what about us? What would happen if we would just simply stop and say, no, that's not what God wants? Or, yes, I don't want to do this, but this is what I'm going to do, because this is what God wants. If we would only take the time to respond like Peter did on this one occasion, at your word, I will do this or that. At your word, I will not do this or that. And those are the words of faith. And those are the words that the Apostle Peter is speaking. Now look what happens. First of all, verse 8. Verse 8 follows what happened. When Peter set out and he put in the nets, he and Andrew put in the nets, they caught such a large amount of fish that the Bible says that their nets began to break. And as a result of it, they called to their other partners, James and John, who were in the other boat with their father Zebedee, to come and help them with this great amount of fish that they were catching. And so the other boat came to help them. And when the other boat came, they pulled the nets up and they filled both boats full of fish, to the point that both boats began to sink. And when Peter saw all of this, and he realized exactly what had happened, his response is in verse 8. And he says to Jesus, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. And you notice Jesus never says, yes, you are. He didn't have to. Peter was right. And this man, Jesus, was still in his boat and was there of his own choosing and has not left and is not going to leave. And yet Peter is saying to him, Lord, get away from me because I am a sinful man. And he dropped down to verse 9. It tells us why he said that. Because amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, you are right. That's not what he said. Peter has just acknowledged, I am a sinful man. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You are right where you need to be. And I am right where I need to be. And you have no reason to be afraid. And you have no reason to fear me. Don't be afraid. And then he says to him, because I, from now on, or rather from now on, you will be catching fish. And they brought everything to the shore, and they left everything. Peter and Andrew, James and John, and they go to be with Jesus. From now on, catching men. And I think what follows next is so absolutely vital. Is there a condition for Peter in becoming a fisher of men for Jesus? Is there a condition of Peter that he never violate in order to be accepted by Jesus in his presence as this sinful man that he is? I want us to look from this point forward regarding the life of Peter. From now on, you're going to catch fish in spite of who you are. From now on, you're going to catch fish in spite of the wrong and foolish things that you will yet do. From now on, you will be catching men, not fish. From now on, you will be catching men because of your faith in me. And just look at this faith. Peter's faith will prove to be a sinking faith. Of course, he's the only one who has the faith to get out of the boat. He's the only one who has the faith to start walking on the water to meet Jesus. But when he takes his eyes off Jesus and he sees the waves and the wind and everything that's going on around him, then he begins to sink because he takes his eyes off Jesus. And Jesus picks him up and says, "Why did you doubt? Why do we ever? But don't we always? Isn't that the way we are? There are times when we doubt. There are times when our faith is not what it ought to be, and our faith is not as strong as it ought to be, and we're not able to do and to accomplish the things that we ought to accomplish because we have a sinking faith just like Peter. But still, he's catching men. And still, he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. And there is no condition that Jesus lays down before him. Don't ever do this again, because if you do this again, you will no longer be my apostle. That's never said to this man of faith, because it doesn't need to be. Because Jesus knows this man of faith will keep coming back, and he will recognize the things that he's done wrong. And so this man of faith, whom Jesus has said, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men," is not done with this weak faith. Because Jesus will actually speak to him these words, "Get behind me, Satan." And he speaks them in the book of Matthew chapter 16. When Peter had just made the confession that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And having made the confession that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, implying he could be wrong about nothing that he spoke. Then Peter hears Jesus say to himself and to the rest of the apostles, "I'm going to Jerusalem to die." And Peter jumps in and steps forward and gets in the face of Jesus and says, "No, this will never happen to you. You are wrong here, Son of God who knows everything. You are wrong here." And Jesus says to him, "Get behind me, Satan. At this moment, you are doing the bidding of Satan. At this moment, you do not have the things of God in mind, but you have the things of the world in mind. Get behind me, Satan." But still, Jesus never does say, "Never do this again, or it's over." This is a man who walks by faith. This is a man who can be corrected. This is a man who can change his mind. This is a man who will come back to Jesus. And so he continues to be a fisher of men. And then the three times that he says, "I don't know him. I never knew him. I don't know who he is." And then the rooster crows. And he remembers. And he looks into the eyes of Jesus. And he goes away and he weeps bitterly. And then Jesus comes to him after he's raised from the dead. "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep." Still fishing for men. Even though his faith has done this. And now Jesus is gone and ascended into heaven. And Peter is the apostle to the Jews. And then the rebuke at Antioch, where he's eating with the Gentiles until some Jews show up from Jerusalem. And then his prejudice takes over. And his heritage takes over. And he withdraws from the Gentiles and no longer eats with them, because he's afraid of what the Jews from Jerusalem will think about him. And Peter is rebuked by Paul to his face. And he learns again. And he's reminded again. And he's confronted again with what he said to Jesus and these words that are recorded at the first part of the book of Luke. "Go away from me, I am a sinful man." And Jesus' reply to him, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on out, you'll be fishing for men." And this man whose faith was not perfect, but who believed in God, is counted as a great apostle Peter, and is counted faithful to God, and is counted as us. It's no wonder we like Peter so much. It's no wonder we are so drawn to him. But all of the others are just like him. But it's no wonder that he goes from this place and he puts this faith in Jesus and he lives his life for Jesus, even though there are moments throughout his life when you might think he's forgotten him. But those are moments in his life that are just moments. And very soon and very quickly, he's coming back to Jesus. By faith are you saved through grace. Not by your own perfection. Not by the fact that you never do anything wrong. Not by the fact that you never do again what you know you ought not to do. But by faith in Christ. Are we saved by the grace that he has given to us when he died on the cross for us? And Jesus simply says to us who put trust in him, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you belong to me. Don't be afraid." Washed by his blood, cleansed by his blood, through our faith and trust in him. What will you do with the words of Jesus? Have you been baptized into him? What will you do with the words of Jesus? Will you acknowledge the wrongs that you've done? What will you do with the words of Jesus? If you need to come home to him or to be baptized into him, we invite you to come and stay.